You got people that do the jellos and all those other things. I mean,
the jello molds. Yes, we do not do that. Wow, we are children of the 80s, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if people still do it.
What's I think people do. Yeah.
The other one, well, the one that's white. What's that
Ambrosia?
One? Ambrosia. Yeah. I always like saying that. Ambrosia.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Sip with Nikki. I'm Nikki Lamberti here in Sonoma County, California. And I teach people about wine, and I make wine, and I drink a lot of wine. So if you are a new listener, welcome to the party. And if you are a faithful part of our Sip crew, thanks so much. I see you, and I appreciate you as we are nearing our 2-year anniversary of launching this podcast. You've all asked for more Michael, so here you go. Michael is my other half, and he has made some appearances in the podcast over the last, gosh, we're coming up on episode 100 here soon. Wow. And we have heard you all say that you love when Michael and I dish together. So since we are in the days leading up to Thanksgiving, I have been getting a lot of questions, as I always do. Hey, Nikki, I'm headed to a Friendsgiving or planning for Thanksgiving. What is the perfect Thanksgiving wine or the perfect holiday wine or New Year's wine? So I'm going to give it to you. And Michael and I are going to weigh in on our thoughts on wine pairings for the holidays. And we're going to talk about his absolute favorite holiday all year. It is Thanksgiving. He'll talk about why, and we'll share with you some of our traditions and what is going to be on our table and why. And although Michael is an RN, a nurse by trade, which, yes, is a professional degree, he is also an amazing cook. We are both foodies, and we are partners in Solovato, which is our small wine brand, together. And if you'd like to learn more about food and wine pairing and why things go well together and why they don't, check out episode number 16. That was all the way back in March of 2024. It was called Pairing Schmaring, and it's about finding the best food and wine combinations. But then also check out Pairing Night Part 1 and Part 2. That was episode 82 and 83. Those are from July of 2025, and they're featuring my good friend, Dr. Hobie Wedler, who is a sensory expert, and we are actually cooking in the kitchen together, trying different pairings and talking about why things work and don't. So those are great supplements to this conversation that you're about to hear. So here we go with Nikki and Michael's holiday wine tips.
Welcome back, fellas, to Sip with Nikki.
Who says fellas? I say fellas. No. I think most of our listeners are actually women.
Welcome back, ladies.
I'm so happy for you that your Cowboys won today.
Yes, that's why I'm very happy.
I knew it was going to make for a better recording if they won, so thanks, Cowboys.
Thank you for coming back. Appreciate it.
Sunday night, and we're just hanging here at the house. I got all the Christmas decorations up. It looks so pretty. The tree is up. The stairs are decorated. The outside is decorated. What did you do?
I watched football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just your holiday season. Or mine, I think, ends after Thanksgiving.
Why is that?
Because it's great food and great wine and football.
Yeah. I like Thanksgiving, but I love Christmas. You tolerate Christmas, but you love Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I just think Thanksgiving, everyone always gathers at the same time because the timing of football, it's a certain time. You have to be somewhere.
In a football house like yours, yes, the meal is planned around football, but yes. I don't know if that's the case in all homes. So have the Cowboys played on Thanksgiving for the entire time that you've been a fan?
Yes. They started playing on Thanksgiving Day somewhere in the 60s, I think 65, 68. So that's when it started. And only two teams wanted to do it, Detroit and Dallas. And that's why they've remained the host of those two games every year.
They both play on Thanksgiving, but not each other.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, because they always play at home. Okay. So they can never play each other.
Oh, right. That can't happen. Yeah. All right. Okay. So tell me about this Thanksgiving and this football game and what's so special about it and how we've planned our holiday around it this year.
I think it's great that we're finally going to leave the house and go to someone else's house for Thanksgiving.
We're usually hosting.
So it's a lot of preparation for days before. You're like brining a turkey to smoke it, or even brining a turkey to put in the oven. We're always fighting for oven space on that day. So I'm like, oh, I'll just put it in a Traeger outside and get it out of the way. So,
yeah, smoked the turkey the last couple of years, which has been great.
Right.
But we're going over to friend's house this year. Shout out to Andy and Brittany for hosting us.
Thank you for hosting us.
And Andy is a huge
Chiefs fan.
Kansas
City Chiefs. So that's why we decided to get together, because me and Andy are great football fans, but we don't get too crazy about it. One goes down or the other.
I don't know about that statement, but okay, I'll allow. When you guys discovered they were playing each other, we made the plan and said, let's do Thanksgiving together. Right. So we will be going to their house. And I find it very funny that Andy has already told us that he is preparing a 14-pound turkey for the six of us. And we're doing some sides and I'm making some pies. But you said to me, what this week?
I'm still going to make myself a turkey.
So even though we get off easy by not hosting or we're going to someone's house and they're going to do all of the work of the turkey, you want to make another turkey here at home this week just for leftovers?
Like I said, it's because it's my holiday and I like to have my own turkey and my own stuffing leftovers, and you make sandwiches and waffles out of it.
Tell them about waffles. I forgot about that.
The last couple of years, we've been making stuffing waffles. And then you put the cranberry sauce on top with some maple syrup. They're delicious.
Just mashed potatoes in that batter too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Stuffing and mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
You are correct.
That is the batter. And then you literally put it in a waffle iron.
Yeah, it was makes. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Now I'm really excited.
So that's what I'm saying. You have to have all the little things. And I'm not saying I'm going to get a large turkey.
I'm like, we're two people. What kind of turkey are you getting? A turkeyette?
You know, the turkey is like mostly bone anyways, so... Because I don't get the ones that are all injected with all the stuff.
Good. That's good.
Because then you normally brine it. If you're going to brine it, you don't need all that stuff already injected into the turkeys.
All right. So even though we're not hosting, we're making a turkey, we're making stuffing, we're making...
Chile con queso.
Michael's making his famous queso, which is an appetizer, but also he likes to have it on his plate, almost like gravy.
It's not my queso. It's my mom's queso. So thank you, Irma.
Okay.
For
all right.
The queso.
And then I'm making some pies and a little charcuterie. And so we have to decide what wine we're going to take over, right?
Correct.
Andy works at Pride with me, and his wife, Brittany, also works in the wine industry. So we're all a bunch of wine nerds, and I'm sure there's going to be a nice lineup. But I've already had multiple messages this week from different people, including Carrie in Monterey, who was like, hey, I'm going to a Friendsgiving. What's a great wine to bring to pair with turkey?
Right.
People ask me this all the time. Do you get this question?
No people ask
that. Nobody asks you that.
No, they're more like, what are you going to cook? Are you going to smoke anything this year? But
they're talking about the on the food, Traeger.
On the Traeger.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Because you can put everything. But what I like about Thanksgiving, and what I like that we've shared and you've added onto it, it's like courses now. So it's more like three different wines, because now we start with bubbles, because we're going to do some kind of oysters, or someone brings something with like seafood, or, you know, it's kind of light and it's great with bubbles, and that's a great way to start.
Or charcuterie board, which I'll be doing.
Right. And then you move on to something a little heavier, like, you know, it could be Pinot or Gamay or a Viognier or Beaujolais or something like that.
Look at you, fancy pants, listing off those things.
Hey, you know what? I listened to Sip with Nikki. I learned a lot.
You better listen to it. So, like, you have a choice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my answer to people. I have two ways to answer this question. Like, what is the perfect Thanksgiving wine or Christmas wine or wine that belongs on your table when
all
you're doing a big traditional meal? The answer is all of them, or many of them.
Yeah.
Because A, it is a multi-course affair, like you said, and you're, I don't know about you, but I'm sipping while I'm cooking or prepping. And then, we've got appetizers, and then we have the meal, and then we have dinner. So one wine or one type of wine is not going to carry you all the way through that. but also because think about, especially on a Thanksgiving table, and a lot of people do kind of a version of Thanksgiving for Christmas as well. Maybe they sub a lamb or a prime rib or, you know, instead of the turkey, right, but typically you have all the different sides.
Or right? Ham.
Or a ham. Yeah. How many different things are on a holiday table besides the protein?
Everything.
That's the best part, all the sides. Exactly. Foods.
You got people that do like the Jell-Os and all those other things. I mean,
the Jell-O molds. Yes, we do not do that.
I know.
Wow, we are children of the 80s, yeah. Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if people still do it.
What's the other one? Yeah.
The other one. Well, the one that's white. What's that one?
Ambrosia.
Ambrosia. Yes. I always like saying that. Ambrosia. So, yes.
You don't like that probably because it has coconut in it.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
But. Yeah, the best part, I think what we all get so excited about for Thanksgiving is not just the physical turkey, if you eat that, but it's the variety of, oh my gosh, the...
How does it vary with your
mashed
Italian?
Mashed potatoes.
Because I could tell you how mine is different, but is there typically a lot of Italian mixed into the turkey?
No.
Because like ours will have like, people will bring over tamales, we'll have chile con queso. Sometimes it's a... little tostadas with seafood, like a ceviche. So, you know, that's also going to be a nice thing with some white wine. So, you know, Sauvignon Blanc.
Exactly. So you want to have a variety because it depends. But no, for us growing up, Christmas had more of the Italian influence
right.
in the menu. But Thanksgiving, pretty traditional in our house growing up with the green bean casserole, mashed potatoes. My mom makes a sweet potato casserole that everybody loves. It's basically like a dessert.
She also makes the souffle I like.
Oh, broccoli souffle.
So, yes.
Broccoli souffle.
Yeah.
Green beans, Brussels sprouts. We make fresh cranberry sauce. So many different things. We've been making a cornbread and sausage stuffing. So, my point is, you're not picking a wine to pair with the turkey only. You want to pick something that's versatile, that's going to let all those different flavors from savory to starchy to bitter vegetable, like you need some wine that's a chameleon. And the reality is, if you're having more than just two people at home, you're going to go through multiple bottles of wine. So you want a nice variety is
what
I tell
people. That's why you buy something like a nice white or bubbles because it's more of the star because it's not so many other wines.
Yeah. So like you mentioned Viognier and right. our listeners have heard me talk about Viognier and Pride Viognier specifically, which is a very full-bodied, dry white wine, but we call it the red wine drinker's white because it has that weight and that body in the glass, even though it's white. Super versatile with food pairing. Right. We pretty much always had Viognier on the table. I'm sure we will with Andy and Brittany this
week. I've had it. We've had it with oysters, and then we've also had it with turkey. It prepares well. So it's almost like a like you said, like a Pinot, thicker red.
Yeah. So Pinot Noir, red. I agree, very versatile. Also, I think, great in a lineup for the holidays where you're drinking a lot of things because it's a lighter red. It has a lighter body. It has less tannin. I love a big, bold cab, right? I always say the bigger the cab, the better. I love a big, chewy Napa cab. But is it the most versatile with all of those different things on the holiday table?
I don't think so.
Not necessarily because of the tannin and the dryness. And then, you know, you've got mom's sweet potato casserole, which literally has sugar in it. And then you take a sip of Cabernet Sauvignon. Not good. Yeah. Maybe drink the cab after dinner. But I think if I was designing a wine menu for a holiday afternoon or evening, it would have a bottle of sparkling wine, like a Schramsberg. It would then have a white, like a Pride Viognier.
Oh, we also have caviar. That's right. Caviar is another one. You have like the caviar.
Christmas, we do that.
Oh, not Christmas. Oh, I'm sorry.
Christmas, we do the Seven Fishes. Sorry. So yeah, we do a lot of Viognier and sparkling wine because we do caviar and baked clams and oysters.
Right.
Shrimp scampi. So that's Christmas Eve in our house, which is a lot of sparkling wine, Viognier, and Pinot Noir.
So, I mean, both those holidays are the same, I feel, you know?
The same as far as what?
People can bring ham, bring turkey, bring, like, lamb. Christmas is also another one. So I feel those two holidays are very big as far as you could have so many different wine pairings for food.
So what I'm going to recommend for people to do is have multiple glasses in front of you on the table. I did this last night when we went to Diavola, one of our favorite restaurants in Sonoma County in Geyserville. And I had from our appetizer, which was a tuna tartare, I had a little bit of Sauvignon Blanc left in the glass. But then we had pizza and we had that beautiful pasta. And so we brought our Solvato Sangiovese, right? So I had that. So I actually had both glasses in front of me. And so with each thing, the end of the tuna appetizer, the pizza, the pappardelle pasta, which had butternut squash and lemon, I was actually tasting a sip with the Sauvignon Blanc, and then I would do a bite and taste a sip with the Sangiovese to see the difference. And you threw a beer in there and was like, oh, taste this with the beer. It's a great pairing, which is a totally different flavor profile, right?
And that was a hazy beer.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
had a little bit more lemon or citrusy flavors to it.
Yeah. So it's fun. I mean, this is guidance, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, but there really is no right answer.
There is one right answer.
Oh, what is that?
Don't drink it with water.
don't pair it with water.
Don't pair it with water. Like, I understand, but like Diet Cokes and water, that's just what I'm trying to say. This is what wine is made for, these kind of foods. It's like,
tell me more about that.
I just mean, growing up and knowing it's just like water, right? And or tea or something else. There's just no drinks I feel that are more paired for holiday season than wines.
Mm-hmm. We will be right back. This Christmas Eve, my family will be doing our traditional Italian Feast of the Seven Fishes. And I know exactly where I'm going to be getting some of that fish this year. If you heard episode 69 from April 2025, you heard my awesome conversation with Sina Wheeler. She's from a fifth generation fishing family, and she and her husband Rich founded Sina Sea. He catches wild, sustainably caught fish in Alaska, and then they cut it and package it and ship it right to your door. Did you know that a lot of people send premium wild Alaskan fish for holiday gifts? I would love to have a box of fish show up on my doorstep. It's a very thoughtful, sustainable, and delicious gift, and it can be served for special occasions and memorable meals. Copper River sockeye salmon is a very popular gift, and Sina Sea also has specialty items like crab, smoked salmon, lox, and their famous salmon and halibut spreads that belong on your holiday tables. They make gifting super easy because they pack every box with care. They can gift wrap it, leaving out price information and even include customized gift notes. You can order anytime and then schedule shipment to time it perfectly for the holidays. They're a small family-owned business, and they've been kind enough to create a discount code for our listeners. The code is SIPNC, and you can use that on their website, SENASEA.com, for 10% off your order. That can be for a one-time purchase, or you can sign up and save with the subscription box. Sign up for their mailing list because they share lots of great recipes, and you'll even be entered to win a monthly gift card drawing. Go check out the delicious wild Alaskan fish at SinaSea.com. Healthy fish delivered easy. AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami and her husband Donald. They live up in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast where we got to taste some of her delicious olive oils, both the Arbequina and Ascolano varieties, and they're grown and made right here in California. Well, the oils were really just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, you'll see that they import gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. In fact, one of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. I can't say that without singing. And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the fantastic recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their beautiful products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be anything from the site, whether it's delicious olive oils, vinegars, or even gifts. I mean, you can send someone an olive tree as a gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go, check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to the show.
Because, like I said, they just elevate the food. Food, when the food and the wine elevate each other, it's amazing. And I think Thanksgiving is one of those times that you have a better chance of it happening.
Yeah. Ain't no water going to elevate any type of flavor that's in your mouth.
Because the wine might not pair with one thing, but you have 75 other things to try it with.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is the amazing thing.
Yeah. So I think what we're saying is have a variety of sparkling white and or rosé, a light red, which could be a Pinot Noir, or of course, we're going to have our Sangiovese, which is also a very versatile medium red wine. That's what we're actually drinking tonight. What makes a wine versatile, especially a red wine, when we talk about Pinot Noir or Sangiovese or Beaujolais Nouveau, which was just released this past Thursday, and I did an episode about that. What makes especially a red versatile is that the body or the weightiness of it is not super heavy, and the tannins, which is that bitter, dry, chalky astringency, is not too heavy. And then you want nice, crisp acidity, like a liveliness that makes you go like that, because that is a palate cleanser. That is what's refreshing your palate after the bite of the super rich mashed potatoes, or Andy's making some gravy, kind of mac and cheese, or
corn souffle.
Yeah.
Corn
pudding, right? You want a palate cleanser and some brightness in between all that richness. And generally those lighter bodied red wines are going to have that nice crisp level of acidity. Sangiovese is known for that.
It's savory foods, sweet foods. You have the rich, you know, rich flavors of other things, and it's all mixed together. So it's like, I just feel the, like I said, Pinot Noir, like I like but I like a heavier Pinot too. I like a nice extracted Pinot from Russian River.
You do.
I'm a homer. I'm sorry.
You do. We live in the Russian River Valley area of Sonoma County. Yes. And that's one of your favorites. Yeah, like it's bigger, richer.
Richer. Yeah. It's like rich.
Yeah. I think I would just love to encourage people who are wine drinkers to take advantage when you're at a gathering. There's going to be multiple bottles of wine, and you should bring and contribute to that. Taste everything, even though you probably have one favorite that is your safe go-to. Like, you could drink that any night. You can drink that on any Tuesday in the year. Take this opportunity when you have multiple bottles being open to try different things. You may just be surprised. Thinking ahead to Thanksgiving, if we do my favorite, which you roll your eyes at, where we go around the table and say what we're grateful for or thankful for. What are you thankful for this year?
First of all, I'm thankful for being here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not a given. I'm also thankful for you finishing your treatments and everything.
Amen to that.
I'm thankful for the friends and family I have, you know, and just thankful, like I said, being able to survive another year.
Yeah. We've had a year. It's been a rough one. So coming up on the 1 year anniversary of my mammogram and diagnosis of breast cancer last December.
Right. Yeah.
But made it through surgery, 16 rounds of chemo, 20 rounds of radiation. Feeling good. Feeling almost back to normal. Lingering things are happening, but right. I am grateful and thankful for modern medicine, that we caught it early and that the treatments were available and that I have insurance that covered a lot of it. So I'm very grateful for that, because that is not always the case. I feel good. Grateful to have it behind me, and thankful for all of the support from friends and family and everything we've been through this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for our new puppies that we got this summer.
Sometimes. I'm grateful for
They're a lot.
Right.
But they're lovely.
Two little girls. Mm-hmm. Get two little girls, they said.
Get sisters, they said. No, they're great. They're just a lot of energy. Anything else about wine and holidays?
Basically, we said there's really no wrong answer.
That's right.
It's just more about knowing some of the components, right? If you know there's going to be a turkey, you know there's going to be mashed potatoes, you know there's going to be these things. What I'm saying is, if you're going to bring a dish, bring a wine that pairs well with the dish that you're bringing.
All right. So let's do a speed round on what you think the answer is for each of these. If you are bringing, I'm going to tell you the dish, you tell me the wine, okay?
Okay.
You are bringing mashed potatoes.
I would still stay in a Pinot because mashed potatoes is going to be served with the turkey.
Okay. You are bringing roasted Brussels sprouts with balsamic vinegar glaze.
So now you have more higher acid, right? So you would, I would be like a Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc.
A white?
Okay. A white.
Okay. You are bringing...
Viognier, actually.
Yeah, Viognier would be great with that. You are bringing Susan Lamberti's famous broccoli souffle that's fluffy and eggy and airy.
I would even be like bubbles with that one.
Yeah. You're bringing ham. You're bringing a honey glazed ham.
Oh, that's for sure. A Russian River Pinot.
Yeah. Pork and Pinot. Yeah. It's just the quintessential pairing.
Right. It's just, that's why they have a festival, Pork and Pinot.
Yeah. You're walking through the door with Michael and his family's favorite chile con queso.
That's almost like Syrah.
Yeah. We didn't mention Syrah.
We did not. Yeah.
Why Syrah?
Because I think it pairs well with Mexican food with a little bit of spice. Like there's some wines that make the spice even worse in your mouth or it mutes the wine.
Yeah.
And I feel Syrah plays very well with it and it complements each other.
It does well with spicy. That's what we love about Syrah and Grenache.
Correct. Oh, right? Grenache. I would have said Grenache.
Yeah.
I wonder where we would get some of that.
We got a house full of it right now, getting ready to release it, hopefully in December, our first ever Grenache with special pink label for breast cancer, with proceeds from each bottle going to the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Back to the speed round. Green bean casserole with crispy onions on the top.
Wow. I would still say Pinot on that one. I think Viognier vegetables, it plays very well with it.
Yeah.
Viognier itself, it's, you know, I feel.
Sausage cornbread stuffing with a little bit of spice.
Well, you have the sausage, so of course it's going to be the Pinot.
Oh my gosh.
Or Gamay, right?
Gamay, which is the grape and Beaujolais.
I think Beaujolais, yeah.
Beaujolais Nouveau is the Gamay grape, which is generally almost even lighter than Pinot.
What do you, would you think of like an Italian, like a Nebbiolo, like really light, right?
Yeah. Could be tricky. It can be a little tannic sometimes. But notice, let me back up. Are you a lover of Cabernet Sauvignon?
Yes.
But notice you did not answer cab to any one of those items on the table.
No, unless like we were going to cook a steak with somehow a steak ended up in all that stuff.
Yeah, because?
I just feel with smoking a turkey kind of makes it almost like steak, but you spend all that time on doing the turkey for a couple of days, you brine the turkey, you dry it up, you season it again, you throw it in the smoker for hours. You don't want like a cab to overpower it and then take away all that work you put into it. That's what I feel.
I agree. Drink the Cabernet Sauvignon after dinner with a cheese board.
Right.
You bring up an interesting question. So we talked about smoking the turkey on the Traeger. You've also done the spatchcock where you cut it like and flatten it and do it on the grill. Correct. Of course, there's traditional roast turkey. So would you change your turkey wine pairing depending on how the turkey was cooked?
Yes. The amount of seasoning that you're throwing into a turkey, plus the smoke element to it, I feel it has to be a little bit larger red. You don't want to go light, I feel. You want something a little bit bigger for that.
Versus a traditional roast turkey.
Yeah. I think you can easily pull off the Viognier and you could pull off the Chardonnay or something lighter white with the turkey that's just been roasted, you know, and dripping in some like juices and butter. Like, and it doesn't have too much, you know?
Mm. The crispy skin with the butter rubbed all over it. All right, now I'm excited for Thursday.
Yeah, but I think one of the biggest things, especially when you're brining the turkey, you're putting like juniper berries and rosemary and lemons and all these different...
People are listening to this, they're like, nah, I'm not doing that in my brine. That's your brine, Michael. Right. Where does that recipe come from?
I borrowed a little bit from the Thomas Keller book for the ad hoc brine.
Shout out to Chef TK.
And then I got a little bit from Kenji on Lopez. And he has one too. It's just a mixture of everything I like.
Yeah.
And then there's some things like people like to use a lot of clove sometimes. I'm not a big clove person. I like that more with a ham.
Yeah.
Less than a turkey, but.
Maybe we'll put a link to your brine recipe that you like in the show notes so people can try it out.
Sure.
Okay. Cool. Anything else?
Just enjoy the holidays And let's go, Cowboys. 3 in a row, baby.
I knew you were going to do that. Yeah, my advice is whatever winds up in your glass, I hope that you try different things and actually stop and notice, right? When you take a bite and you take a sip, we do all of this attention on food and wine pairing and why it's so important. But if you're not actually noticing what you like about it or if it's good or not, then who cares, right? So take a moment in the middle of all the craziness of all your relatives and all the shit show that might be going on. And when you take a sip, stop and actually notice. Take a bite, put them together, see what you think, and let us know what you did. Shoot me an email, nikki@sipwithnikki.com. What was on your table and how'd it go?
And especially if you borrowed some of our suggestions and used them.
Send us a note.
Yes.
So we know that we're not just speaking out into crickets. Cheers. We're going to make some pizza now with this beautiful Solovato Sangiovese. I'm thankful for you.
I'm sorry. I didn't ask you what you were thankful. Did I?
I added. Oh. Yeah, I did. But I'm also thankful for you.
I was very, it was too much of a, it was a very hard thing to say. It's a very deep question sometimes to think about.
I know. You got emotional.
Yes. So.
Love you, Mina.
I love you too.
Oh, we got that recorded. Yes. I'm going to stop now while I'm ahead.
She's going to edit it.
Quit while I'm ahead. Ah, that Michael. He keeps me laughing, that's for sure. And he has a softer side, as you heard as well. Clearly, we like Pinot. Pinot, 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 Pinot was probably our top recommendation, as you heard. Pinot Noir. And Viognier was probably a close second. And of course, Sangiovese and Grenache, because we're homers, as we say. And that's why we make them, because we love to drink them. And we think they belong on every table, not just a holiday table. So check the link in the show notes for some of our favorites of each of those types of wine. And I'll make sure to list things that you should be able to get either locally or be able to order from the websites that I share so that they will be accessible and helpful for you. And if you'd like to get some of our beautiful small lot Solovato Sangiovese on your table, we can ship to most states in the U.S. Visit solovatowines.com. That's S-O-L-L-E-V-A-T-O, Solovato, which in Italian means joyful and uplifted. And make sure to use the discount code PODLISTENER for 10% off your purchase. And sign up for our newsletter because we're doing some additional promotions and deals on shipping around the holidays, and you'll be the first to know if you are on that list. Did you know that you can be an angel and support the podcast? It's like giving a tip, and you can do that through the link in the show notes as well. And it's like saying thank you for the quote entertainment, using that term lightly, that we have provided for you. You can buy us a glass of wine, and we would be forever grateful. I hope that you, your friends, and family have a wonderful holiday season. And whatever you do between now and our next episode, we hope that you sip well.